The reading is in the Epistle to the Ephesians, and chapter 5, and I'll begin reading at verse 1. Be therefore followers of God as dear children, and walk in love as Christ also hath loved us and hath given himself for us as an offering and a sacrifice to God for a sweet-smelling savour. But fornication and all uncleanness or covetousness, let it not be once named among you, as becometh saints, neither filthiness, nor foolish talking, nor jesting, which are not convenient, but rather giving of thanks. For this ye know, that no whoremonger, nor unclean person, nor covetous man, who is an idolater, hath any inheritance in the kingdom of God, Christ and of God. Let no man deceive you with vain words, for because of these things cometh the wrath of God upon the children of disobedience. Be not ye therefore partakers with them. For ye were sometimes darkness, but now are ye light in the Lord. Walk as children of light, who for the fruit of the Spirit is in all goodness and righteousness and truth, proving what is acceptable unto the Lord, and have no fellowship with the unfruitful works of darkness, but rather reprove them. For it is a shame even to speak of those things which are done of them in secret. But all things are approved and made manifest by the light, for whatsoever doth make manifest is light. Wherefore he saith, Awake thou that sleepest, and arise from the dead, and Christ shall give thee light. May the Lord add his blessing to the reading of his word. Most particularly, verse 8, Be not ye therefore partakers with them, for ye were sometimes darkness, but now are ye light in the Lord. Walk as children of light. So the kind of mini little theme we have in this chapter now is the difference between darkness and light, and whether we reside in darkness or whether we have come to light. We remind ourselves of the great divisions in this epistle, and we're looking at the application of the first part. Although you cannot divide them absolutely, yet there is pretty clear evidence of that. Now, darkness and light, from 7 to really, I should have read to verse 14. Darkness is associated with Satan, with the world and sin, and light with God and holiness. The Christian has changed worlds. He's come from the area of darkness and has come to the area of light. The issue is now a sanctified light, life, a life that can be scrutinized as being consistent with its claim of living in the light. The work of our Lord in John 17, verse 17, he says in the Gospel of John, sanctify them through thy truth. Thy word is truth. Many of the wrong teachings that have appeared, as far as I can see, there's nothing new. I am glad that I took two areas in my studies of church history, which I think is impossible to do it all, but I took two areas. One was the early church, up to about the year 400 or 500, and the second was the time of the Reformation. And I chose those times because I felt that the lecturer would not be able to change what was there. In other things, you have Hegel's view of this, Ritschl's view of that, Schleiermacher's view of this, and so on. And you have these philosophic theologians that bring their own ideas. But with those areas, they would be have to be factual, what the heresy was, what truth was, and how much they understood. So when I think today of the things that are today, I could name them, but you could put them all into one bag. Antinomianism. Now, antinomianism means against God's law. It's always been the problem of people who are willing to believe with their minds, but with their lives carry on as they were before. It started with the Gnostics. Now that's spelled with a G, Gnostics. It's from the word that you can familiar with, agnostic. Agnostic means I don't know. An atheist means he does not believe in God, there's no God. Agnostic says I don't know. So the word Gnostic is the word for knowledge. So agnostic knowledge, agnostic means I don't know. But we are dealing with a period then of the Gnostics. And what they believed was this. Oh, that's a very complicated belief. It'd take a long time to go through it. But briefly, it would be that the spirit, the soul, can be right with God in knowing the truth. But the body is free to do as it likes and satisfy its primitive appetites. So it does not interfere with your life. And then, of course, it affects your worship and your reverence because your life is quite a contradiction of what you believe. Then that heresy became known as antinomianism, against the law of God. That is, the law is our schoolmaster to show us that we are sinners, fall short of the glory of God. That's true. Now, when we are converted, have we finished with the law? Not at all. Whereas before, we could not achieve it. We tried, but could not. But when we had grace, we were given grace to be able to achieve it to some degree, in any case. So, to love God and love your neighbor with all those implications were a hallmark or the signs of grace in a Christian. Oh no, says the Gnostics. Oh no, the law is finished with. Well, in a sense, they were right. God is satisfied with what Christ did for us. But the law, is, says Paul, is holy and good. Now we still have the law, but it doesn't save us. All the law does now is evidence that we are saved. So if only those simple rules were looked at by these strange people. New Calvinism is one of them. Terrible. Very intellectual. But it'll destroy the church. Or New Covenant theology, just as bad. New Calvinism is more subtle and intellectual. But both of them do the same thing. And they play about with the verses and are selective in what they want to believe. We cannot do that. John 17:17, sanctify them through thy truth. Thy word is truth. Now here is the word of truth as we see it and we understand. It's a walk. It's a walk in love. It's just a walk in light. There's a great difference between the Christian and the non-Christian, and there should be. There should be. Some Christians are strange. They want to be Christian, and yet they don't want to be singled out. It's strange. I often wonder then, are they Christian? If we are ashamed of our Lord here, will he not be ashamed of us in the day of judgment? So we cannot play about with Christ. We cannot play about with God in any way. In John 8, verse 12, our Lord, I am the light of the world. I am come a light into the world. He that followeth me shall not walk in darkness, but shall have the light of life. Then to his followers in verse 23, he says, ye are the light of the world. So he's saying, now those now who walk in the light, we too are like little candles or lamps of light, whatever we are. One Christian in the street who lives to the glory of God is a help. It's a help to those who are there. You might say they don't notice you. Oh, yes, they do. You might say, I just go to chapel quietly, but they know. And we are observed. And we are read of all men. That's how it is. So we should shine wherever we are and shine brightly. In 2 Corinthians 4, verses 3 to 6, if our gospel be hid, it is hid to them that are lost. That's a terrible thing, isn't it? In whom the God of this world, of Satan, has blinded the minds of them which believe not. It's a blindness. That's why when we are witnessing to people, and you think, well, I'm giving a very good argument, I'm not getting anywhere. Well, be patient. Be patient. You have to wait till God works as well, but keep on, keep on. You see, they're blind. It's like showing a painting by Turner or Constable to a person who has no sight. You say, I can't see anything. But there's a picture here. I can't see anything. Now, we're as blind as that, or as deaf. If you are totally deaf and Beethoven is played to you, you might say, what happened? Well, that symphony was played. I didn't hear any symphony. They are deaf. So spiritually, they are blind and deaf and are incapable of understanding. Now you might say, is there anything that can be done? Yes, pray for them. And the amazing thing is this, that at the right time, in the right place, he enlightens them. Their eyes open, their ears open, and they hear, and they understand, and they begin to take notice, and they're on the path to believing. There we are, for our gospel be hid as it is, hid in them that are lost, in whom the God of this world, Satan, hath blinded the minds of them which believe not, lest the light of the glorious gospel of Christ, who is the image of God, should shine unto them. That's the light of Christ cannot shine on them. Why? Because they're blind, because they're deaf. And it is important to have the correct diagnosis of those who are unconverted. Don't think now that they're very clever with their arguments. They're absolutely, totally incapable until God begins to move in them. And that is why we should not lose our tempers or be impatient. Be kind and gentle and gracious and patient with them. That's how we should be, because we can say, well, I understand. I understand why they can't understand. They cannot see, they cannot hear, but I do not know why go on witnessing. Ah, you do not know when that secret visit of the Holy Spirit enters the heart of the soul and regenerates it, gives it a rebirth, and in that rebirth, new life, eyes open, ears open, and they see. And they hear. Now, all that is a secret word of God. So you can't say, oh, I've given up on him. You can't. You carry on gently and firmly and kindly and praying that one day this miracle will take place. Now then, there are plenty of things that can argue against me here. That is why we have superficial evangelism, where people say, all you need to do is believe in God and Jesus Christ died on Calvary and give him your heart. And they say, oh, that's a good idea. I think I'll do that. And some of them will live quite good lives, but they're not saved. They're not saved. They may be very sincere and all their lives, but they're not saved. It has to be a work of grace in the heart of the soul of man. For God, I'm going still 2 Corinthians, for God who commanded the light to shine out of darkness, who commanded the light to shine out of darkness, has shined in our hearts. He's done that for you. He has commanded that this light of grace should shine in your heart. To give the light, now, what's he going to give you? To give the light of the glory of God in the face of Jesus Christ. Look at that picture. It comes a time then when God makes a command. Enlighten him. Give him hearing. Give him sight. Enlighten him. Regenerate him. And when that light then is commanded there, what happens? He gets a knowledge of the glory of God in a remarkable way. Where? In the face of Jesus Christ. Now then, how many people have said, well, Jesus Christ is a very good man and his idea of sonship developed as he gets older? No. It was an incarnation. As an incarnation, he is a second person of the Trinity, and whatever he does is from glory. And also say with Peter, we have in chapter 2, verse 9, you are a chosen generation. Listen, not you are a generation, you are a chosen. Now, who does he command the light to? His elect. Now, that you'll never fathom it. Only to know, you have to put this in your mind. Am I the one who says to God, yes or no, and make myself God? Or is God the one who says yes or no? So there's your choice. I'd rather it be in the hands of God. Wouldn't you? I'd rather it be there. Ye are a chosen generation, a royal priesthood, an holy nation, a peculiar people, special, that he should show forth, what's the purpose? That he should show forth the praises of him who hath called you out of darkness into his marvelous light. So he calls you out of darkness into his marvelous light to glorify God in your life amongst men and women that you know. Also in John, 1 John 1, 5, God is light, and in him is no darkness at all. And verse 7, if we walk in the light, we have fellowship one with another. Now, the difference now is a radical one. The change of heart. A Christian is a person and has a new spiritual birth, which I've explained or tried to. He's a new creation. In verse 8, for you were sometimes darkness, is our text now. For you were sometimes darkness, but now are you light in the Lord. So he's talking to you now. Oh, you were in darkness, all right. Don't imagine that you were in a grey land. You're in darkness, but now are ye light in the Lord. That's who you are now. At one time darkness, and now light, but now you were and now are. You were in darkness, you are now in light. Now these, you might say, well, that's all theology. Well, it is, but it's active theology. It's the active sovereignty of God. I remember the late Dr. Martin Lloyd-Jones say, people believe in the sovereignty of God, But we must believe in the active sovereignty of God. He's just the boss up there that looks at everything, but he's actively involved with his creation in every corner. In chapter 2, 12, verse 13, that at that time you were without Christ, this is in Ephesians 2 now, but at that time, oh, listen to this, you were without Christ. Be made aliens from the commonwealth of Israel. You didn't belong to the children of God. And strangers from the covenants of promises. All the promises of the Bible were nothing to you. Having no hope. And without God in the world. Without Christ. Without God. And without everything in between. The promises. But now, in Christ Jesus, he who sometimes were far off are made nigh by the blood of Christ, right? You were a long way away. You are in the depth of darkness. But by the power of the blood of Christ, you are now brought out of all that into this wonderful light. Now, therefore, you are no more strangers and foreigners. You're no more that. You're not a stranger anymore. You're not a foreigner anymore. But you have fellowship with the saints. And listen to this. And of the household of God. That's who we are. We have fellowship with believers. We identify one another. And we belong to the house, the family of God. And nothing can separate you from that. You look at the end of Romans, Romans 8? Yes. You know, whatever it is, past, present, future, whatever, nothing is able to separate us from the love of God, which is in Christ Jesus, our Lord. Now, there's a clear distinction. The nature of the difference, if you were in darkness, now you are in light. In the sinner, man was created sinful, and he lost his communion with God. Then something happened. So in Romans 1:21, we have these words, speaking of our past. Because when they knew God, they glorified him not as God. Now think of any government, the government of Wales or London or Scotland, whatever, they do not glorify God. Can you think of an instance when they glorify God? But what a change. What a change. During the last World War, the second one, there was a king, he was called King George VI. He was a good man, he was a Christian man. And he used to call every now and again for a day of prayer. Everyone, whatever part of the island they belonged to, went to chapel and prayed. Now, can you imagine the present governments doing that? Can you imagine? They'd laugh it out of court, would they not? That's the state we're in today. A deterioration. As bad, I'm not saying it was perfect then, but certainly there is a great fall since then. Because when they knew God, they glorified him not as God, neither were thankful, but became vain in their imaginations, they're proud of their abilities. And their foolish hearts was darkened. So all the decisions will come to nothing. They'll fail along the way. Their foolish hearts are darkened. That's for people in general. In Ephesians 4, verse 18, having the understanding darkened, being alienated from the life of God. That's terrible. To be a creature like we are, wonderful creatures, fearfully and wonderfully made, but it isn't awful to say, I'm alienated from God. I'm alienated from the life of God. heaven is not my home. Eternal damnation is my conclusion. It's a terrible thing. And yet, never has there been so much drugs and alcohol. And I wonder why it's so bad, even amongst people who say they are Christians, or they say so anyway. But I remember in the crematorium in Cardiff, there's a Christian man in charge then. And the behavior was awful after the service. And I said, why are they like this? Why? It would be a mixture of people there, unbelievers. He said, they can't face death. So they drown it in drink and drugs. They cannot cope with death. That's why you get this ridiculous behavior. And I think he was pretty near the mark. Now I changed the experience. Now are ye lights of the world. It shows us through the change that the man undergoes when he becomes a Christian. The profound change in the world. It affects the vitals of his being, the seat of his personality, the heart, etc. That is, when we change, everything changes. Our thinking changes. Our attitude changes. Our interests change. But how does this happen? To hold the truth. Now then, listen to verse 1 Corinthians 2 and verse 14. But the natural man, now look, now we're going back now to the picture. But the natural man receiveth not the things of the Spirit of God. Do you see that? The natural man, fearfully and wonderfully made, maybe a very high IQ, but the natural man receiveth not the things of the Spirit of God. Why? For they are foolishness unto him. That's why they mock. That's why they make fun of us going to chapel. Oh, don't worry. This is only for a very short time. For they are foolishness unto him. Neither can he know them, because they are spiritually discerned. Why doesn't he understand why I love God? He cannot think spiritually. He can only think intellectually. He can only think with his mind in an ordinary way, a polluted mind. He cannot think spiritually. And anything a man does not understand, he's inclined to make fun of. So don't be afraid of that. Now then, how does a person believe? We must never separate the word and the spirit. Light from outside and light within. God opens the heart and we regenerate. And he's put us into the atmosphere of light under the preaching of the word. It shines in our hearts and it reveals the light of the knowledge of the glory of God. Notice, the aim of every sound sermon, whatever the theme may be, is to give the light of the knowledge of God, where? In the face of Jesus Christ. To put it very simply, turn your eyes upon Jesus. Look full in his wonderful face, and the things of earth will go strangely dim in the light of his glory and grace. No, the charge of death. Consider darkness, the miracle of the change. Walk as children of light. To do this, in verse 4, have no fellowship. Or it could be some. No, have no fellowship with the unfruitful works of darkness, but rather reprove them. For it is a shame even to speak of those things which are done of them in secret, have no relationship. Darkness is absolute. Ignorance about the truth about themselves, and ignorant about the value of their souls, and ignorance about their immortal soul, and ignorance about their destiny, and ignorance about the meaning of life and what happens beyond. Hebrews tells us something we can't avoid. It's disappointed unto men once to die, but it's a comma. It is appointed unto men once to die, but after that, the judgment. Now it's a strange thing. I say, well, how will you get through all those people? Well, look at the size of the universe. It is without number. It is without end. What's a few little mortals on a planet? No problem to him. And we appear before him. We must not be ignorant about God and his character and about the Lord Jesus Christ, or ignorant about salvation and the need of salvation, or it is darkness indeed. Now the mind, there must be understanding that we were in darkness. Now this is the condemnation, that light is come into the world, and men love darkness rather than light, because their deeds were evil. What a verse. That light has come into the world. It's come. And men love darkness. Well, of course they do. It's very attractive. All things, kinds of things happen in the dark. Why is it? It seems to be also literally true that Cardiff at night is much more awful than Cardiff at day. That's also true. And men love darkness rather than light. Why? Because their deeds were evil. The affections, there was no response, but now there is warmth to God. The will was very stupid and totally selfish, but now wants to do the will of God. Make me a captive, Lord. You know, take my will and make it thine. The heart is evil, the center of all profoundly. That's the center. That has been changed. The unfruitful works of darkness are finished with. All the frenzied activity of unfruitfulness are finished with. For it is a shame even to speak of the things which are done in secret. That's what it is like. But all things that are reproved are made manifest. Everything will be brought to light. By the light, for whatsoever doth man doth make manifest is light. Now the advice is, awake thou that sleepest, and arise from the dead, and Christ shall be thy light. That's Ephesians 4, verse 14. Christ alone can do this. Then we walk in the light. And then lastly, the challenge of life. What is expected of those who are light in the Lord? It is a spiritual faculty that differentiates a Christian from everybody else. For the fruit of the Spirit is in all goodness and righteousness and truth. Here a new word sent to me. A tree bears fruit, and it grows and it shows what it's like us also. It describes a fruit, a goodness. I love to say when I'm bothered sometimes, God is good. If I'm a little baffled sometimes by something happening in my life, I remind myself and say, God is good. God is good. And he knows what he's doing. Is this a characteristic of God? God is good. The earth is full of the goodness of the Lord, says the psalmist. Romans 2, verse 4. Or despisest thou the riches of his goodness and forbearance of long suffering, not knowing that the goodness of God leadeth thee to repentance? Why should I have to be miserable? I'll be repent. It is God's goodness leading you to Christ. Goodness, benevolence, a promise of true happiness, truly concerned for others. This is all in the light. And righteousness, conformity to the law. Right. This is a characteristic of a Christian man. By God's grace now, he can fulfill the law. In Romans 1:18, for the wrath of God is revealed from heaven against all ungodliness and unrighteousness of men. The absence of godliness is followed by the absence of righteousness. Truth and righteousness are to be part of our lives. We walk in the light of the Lord. We are not partakers of the unfruitful works of darkness. We have no fellowship nor interest in a kind of morbid curiosity. We belong to him, to the children of light. Our greatest strength, it speaks volumes, says the psalmist, it's beautiful. Blessed is the man that walketh not in the counsel of the ungodly. Don't walk with them. Don't go that way. Especially if you're in school or in college or something like that. And if you are, be quiet. I'll just walk quietly with them. Don't. Blessed is the man that walketh not in the counsel of the ungodly, nor sitteth in the seat in the way of sinners. He doesn't even settle down with them and half enjoy what they're doing. No. Nor sitteth in the seat of the scornful, because from going with them, understanding with them, you begin to sit down and make fun of Christians. Don't go that way. Don't go that way. But listen to this. But his delight is in the law of the Lord. Now, is that true of us all here now? Your delight is in the law of the Lord. Remember, this book is infallible. It is inspired. It is a word of God. We cannot just close and say, I've finished that now. No. It nestles in our hearts and influences every part of our being. Its delight is in the law of the Lord.